Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
One half of the Cespedes Barbecue Duo on Twitter. I know so many of you are fans of that account. Jordan Schusterman joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Jordan also writes for Fox Sports, and his podcast, Baseball Bar B Podcast, with co-host Jake Mintz, releases 3 times a week. Jordan, how's it going?
Oh, it is so good to be with you guys. How about a mop? How about a quick little 4-game sweep? We love to see it. Mariners, listen, is beating one of the worst teams of all time that much of an achievement? Maybe not,
yes.
But I certainly enjoyed it.
It's certainly really fun. We had, Jordan, it's funny you say that. So many people texting in going, oh, it's the A's, who cares? And it's like, well, what do you want them to do? Just be like, we'll skip this one. Like, they did what they needed to do, right?
100%. I see it kind of both ways, because in this specific case, we are, like I just said, possibly watching a historically bad team, but you do have to take care of business. That is such a big part of having a competent winning team. Like, if you can't take care of the teams you're supposed to beat, why am I supposed to trust you? But obviously the biggest issue for the Mariners has been how they've been against good teams, and we'll see how they do in the coming weeks here. Interesting Pirates team coming to town.
Jordan, before I ask my baseball question, I just want to say I like your vibe, man.
Yeah, you got a good vibe, Jordan.
Yeah, I like your vibe.
He knows what he's doing, though.
I appreciate that. That's, yeah. That means a lot. I feel like, listen, Mariners fandom in particular can go in a lot of different dark directions. As someone who kind of opted into it 10 years ago because of my beloved Felix Fernandez, I feel like I have chosen to be generally more positive than the average fan, even during this slow start. So I appreciate that.
All right. Now, not to the baseball question. Here, mine is real simple. Who are the Mariners? If once the aliens stop hiding from us and they touch ground here and they're going around Seattle and they're saying, I want to know who this Mariners baseball team is. How would you describe this team to them?
That's a great question, because I think as we've seen this team sort of evolve over these last few years from a fun, chaotic team to a good, chaotic team to an average team in the standings, but one that is clearly elite on the mound. And I think that is where you have to start, and it is what gives me so much confidence with them moving forward, is with the pitching being this good and this deep, they've kind of established a baseline of competence that not a lot of other teams are going to be able to say, no matter what. At the same time, when you look at this offense, it's maddening in the way that some of the other teams are in baseball this year, like San Diego, St. Louis earlier this year, where you look at the names and you say, how are these guys not hitting better? And we've started to see Julio sort of pick it up. Obviously, Ty France with a big night last night. There are some flaws. It's not the best lineup in the world, but it should be better than it has been. So on the pitching side, I would say it is legitimately elite. On the offensive side, it's kind of frustrating, but the talent is still there.
Jordan, you've completely captured why I think so many fans are both incredibly frustrated and also remaining kind of stubbornly optimistic because of those names. It's not like you're looking at a lineup and, God love them, it's Sam Haggerty 1-9. You're looking at a lineup and you're saying, okay, wait, last year's AL Rookie of the Year, you've got Gino Suarez, you've got Ty, who can hit to all fields. Like, you've got all these names. Teo, like, yeah, it's not, you know, the Braves. It's not the Dodgers, but these guys should be more successful than they are. I know that when guys struggle and when guys are striking out, no group of batters all have the same problem. But are you seeing any consistent issues with this offense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've thought a lot about, as they've kind of developed this elite pitching staff, I've thought about Cleveland a lot, actually, as a team which this year has not necessarily shown as much of an elite pitching staff, but their offensive troubles, there's such a lack of power. And I've often thought about, as a fan, when you watch, what is more infuriating? A ton of strikeouts or like barely hitting it out of the infield? And like, I know fans, it's easy to watch and be like, oh, how are you swinging at that? But there is swing and miss in this lineup, and I don't think that's news.
Yeah.
But when all of that is coming together, that is when you're seeing bad at bats. That is where you're seeing non-competitive swings, and when you're seeing the strikeouts pile up for Suarez and Teoscar at the same time. That kind of approach is also what's worked for them their entire career. And so I think it looks so much worse, because when you have multiple of those guys struggling at the same time, you feel hopeless because there's so much whiff. At the same time, when they're heating up, you can see that it is a lineup that can intimidate, that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, because in 2023, that is how you win a lot of games. draw a walk and hit a homer. And they'll tell you, the front office tells you that too, that that is a recipe for success when your pitching can keep you in every ballgame.
Now, I got to be completely honest with you, Jordan. I follow like basic baseball stories. I'll kind of know the basic stories that are happening, but I'm not watching as closely as I'm sure you are. We talked with Larry Stone earlier and we asked him a similar question and he said, look, you know, part of it is you said what you did about like maybe some swing decisions. You have high strikeout guys. But he also said, look, pitching is great. Pitching is better than it's ever been. And you're kind of seeing this around the league. Is this what you're seeing as well, that part of the issue might not just be a Mariners issue?
Oh, hitting is so hard. And like,
cannot stress enough. Hitting. Yeah. Tough.
Like, that's the thing is it is, you know, most fans, because they are understandably, like, I realize this, I mean, I'm lucky enough like to do this for a living so that I am watching all 30 teams. And so I pride myself on having a general sense of where the league is at and what the offensive environment is. But I know that if you're just watching your own team struggle over a long course of time, you think, right, like, we are the worst hitting team in the history of the universe. And I promise you that is never actually the case. And so I'm with you. Like, the pitching is just so good. Like, you literally just watch when the Mariners are pitching. It's like these other teams have some pretty good arms too. It's not that simple to string hits together. And I know some of the rule changes have kind of hoped that we would move more towards that with the elimination of the shift and assuming or hoping that the pitch clock would maybe lower some velo from pitchers who weren't recovering as quickly in between pitches. That hasn't really been the case. And sure, maybe you're getting a few more hits here and there and you've seen more stolen bases because there are more guys on first base than there were previously. But at the same time, it's still a very similar style of play, even with the new rule changes. And yeah, hitting is just really hard. And that's why it is more of a, you know, walk homer than stringing a bunch of hits together.
Jordan, we were talking about how just athletes have changed and how sports have changed, right? Basketball looks different now than it did 10, 15 years ago. So does football. And you mentioned the approach of the Mariners, right? Get on base, walk, and hit home runs. Is that a common way to attack the game offensively in today's game, or is that something that the Mariners are leading the charge in? Like, what is the typical offensive approach for a Major League Baseball team?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I just mentioned a team like Cleveland who could get pretty far doing it by putting more balls in play than almost any other team. But at some point, you do have to probably hit it over the fence. And as you've seen in recent years, like, I like to track the three true outcome percentage, which is what percentage of your plate appearances end in a home or a strikeout or a walk. And that's exactly what the league is trying to move away from, because they think from the fan perspective, that's not that actually interesting to watch. And I get that. I understand that, because they want to see balls in play. They want to see fielders actually doing things. The Mariners usually rank pretty high there, but also some of the best teams in baseball too, the Dodgers. Yeah. The Dodgers are number one this year in that percentage. They're way ahead of everybody else. And that's because they happen to have some of the best hitters in baseball. So it is, I'm not saying it's uniform, and I know the league wants teams to move away from that, but oh yeah, in recent years, that's absolutely become what offenses are. And that's because it's easier to draw a walk and hit a homer than string three or four hits together. And that's just what baseball is now.
Jordan, you said that you prefer to try to be a little optimistic, which is honestly a vibe that like all of us could use sometimes. And I love it. You're also very knowledgeable though. So I'm leaning on that right now. When you look at the rest, I know one of your recent podcasts, you looked at the powerhouse AL East right now and what the teams there are doing. I am a little surprised by some of the teams in the American League that are taking off. I thought that the Mariners could be like a top 2, 3, 4 team. Instead, you have surprise. The Rangers are amazing. Surprise. Yeah. The Orioles are peaking a little sooner than you expected. Where could the Mariners be in kind of the powers that be in the American League if the offense starts to become even just kind of average or starts to hit home runs?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And when we were talking about it on the podcast today, I was thinking about it in the context of the Yankees in particular, where it's like, you can't just count on only having to face the Astros. And I think you can sort of apply this with the Mariners too, where part of the, I think, frustration around the offseason that they had, where I think they did get better on paper in certain respects. I know some of them certainly have not gone that way with the seasons that Colton Wong and Hernandez have had. Although, again, if you thought that Colton Wong would become this, like, you're lying. Like, there was nothing that would indicate it would become this bad. But to your point, like, I think you can say it's so easy in the American League recently to be like, okay, it all goes through Houston. Mm-hmm. I still believe that Houston's really good. But now, as you mentioned, Texas is legit. Like, yeah. I think Texas is legit. Would I still pick them to win the division? I'm not sure. But if anything, that is one of the better lineups in the league. I know that for sure. Yeah. Baltimore's certainly gotten better. Tampa, right? Like, there's just so many more teams now that you're competing with that have the possibility to be elite. But again, that's why I keep falling back on the pitching, because so few of those teams, Houston maybe being the one where the pitching can match up with Seattle. And so that's where you would hope that, and I think what's scary, I'm sure, for Mariners fans is like, okay, yeah, we did see the pitching did show up in October last year, and they couldn't score a run in, you know, 30,000 innings at the end. So it kind of goes both ways. You are going to have to see some more offensive consistency, but I think Julio's starting to pick it up. I was never really worried about him, and I think that he's the kind of guy that can transform the offense on his own. So if he heats up, I think it could really start moving in the right direction pretty quickly.
Jordan, you talk about teams being legit like the Rangers, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the Tampa Bay Rays, man. I look at them now. I can't pretend like I watch all their games. I follow them. But there's something about looking at that logo that makes me think they ain't legit. Like, I'm from LA. I look at the Clippers. I go, yeah, they win a bunch of games. They ain't going to win no championship. You know, like, how legit are the Tampa Bay Rays, and what makes them the top of the AL East right now?
Sure. Yeah, man. It's really wild. And I know some people can look at the names in the lineup and say, okay, they can't all sustain this. And that's probably true to some degree. But man, like, they do have guys that, like, now that Wander Franco is fully healthy, now that Yandy Diaz is taking it up to another level, like, they do have some guys with real track record that are now just healthy and performing. We know they've always been elite on the pitching side, even with guys that you have heard of. Tyler Glass now about to come back this weekend. Shane McClanahan, arguably the best left-handed pitcher in the league. So we've always trusted their run prevention no matter who's on the mound. But the offensive strides that they've made is remarkable. Some of the offensive, you know, breakouts that they've had at the bottom of their lineup is tremendous. And again, like, that's why they are good at what they do, because they are exceptional at scouting and player development all the way up. And that is not just at the minor league level. Okay, great, we're good at drafting, we can get guys to the big leagues. They can keep improving once they get to the major league level. And that's where you end up with a group that is, it is a really, really, really dangerous lineup. And a team that, I mean, listen, they have five straight winning seasons. There are very few teams that can say that. I know that the way they went out last season was not pretty, but I think that they kind of were motivated by that. And now I do think they are one of the two or three best teams at baseball at worst, if they aren't the best.
I think we've inadvertently talked about potentially both of your answers here. Which team around MLB has surprised you in the best way, and which has done the opposite?
Yeah. So, I mean, let's start negative here.
Right.
Padres, duh.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's the Padres. It's not really close. Easy. And honestly, when I watch, I know they just had a miracle victory yesterday. Thanks to Rougned Odor, naturally, of mm-hmm. course. Everyone could have seen that coming. But in terms of, I mean, sure, the Cardinals have been disappointing, but there were flaws in that roster, particularly on the pitching side, that you could have seen. Like, the Padres, every projection system, it wasn't just getting blinded by those, you know, top four hitters. It was the pitching that was pretty deep due, and you like some of those role players, and it just has not clicked whatsoever. And maybe I'll flip that to the team that I have been most pleasantly surprised by is maybe Arizona. Arizona's a team that, if you're the Padres, sure, you knew you were going to be worried about the Dodgers to some degree. But if I'm trying to climb back into this thing and I have to also worry about Arizona being, you know, relatively competent, if not better than competent, that I would say changes some things. Because I think Texas, we knew, was going to have some pretty high variance. But, like, yeah, they put a lot of big, spent a lot of money on some really talented players, and they had enough of the pieces in place, you know, continue to take steps forward. I certainly believe in that offense. I'm still skeptical about the pitching, which I think could limit them, but that's a legit lineup. And in that way, I'm not super shocked with the way that they're doing. The other reason with Texas and San Diego to combine them, you mentioned, oh, people think, oh, the Mariners, oh my God, this is the worst hitting team I've ever seen. The Rangers are currently historically amazing with runners in scoring position, and the Padres are currently historically terrible with runners in scoring position. Both of those will probably even out over the course of the season, and I would imagine that will probably bring both of those teams a little bit closer to what we expected.
Jordan, we had a rookie last year hit the scene in Captivate America. Mr. Julio Rodriguez goes to the home run derby, does his thing, and he ends up getting paid. Now, we're seeing him kind of struggle this year, but there's another young fellow over here doing his thing, Jarred Kelenic. And I've been asked this question multiple times on our text lines. How long do you wait to pay Jarred Kelenic? Is this something you're a bit more patient with? You give him the Julio treatment? You get a deal done sometime this year? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of ironic, right? They tried to pay him and he said no. And then they said things they shouldn't have, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then he was mad and then he was really terrible. And then now he's good. And so it's like, okay, they clearly wanted to extend him even after the struggles and then, you know, moving forward. I don't think they need, I think they're in a good place with Kelnick right now. I don't think this is a situation. I know that they've openly talked about wanting to pursue extensions with players. And I think it would make much more sense to see that with someone like Cal Raleigh, with someone like Logan Gilbert or George Kirby, guys that I still, not that I don't believe Kelnick has really turned a corner, and but particularly because of the history between the organization and the player in this case, I think they're in a good place. I don't think they need to force it. I think they want to see him kind of settle into where he's going to be over the course of the season. We've seen him kind of dip into some struggles again and then also bounce out of it. I do believe he can be a really, really good player, as I always did. And even as bad as it got, I think we realized that the ceiling might be limited. At the same time, we can see how helpful and how productive that he can be on this team. So I think I know that with the Julio one and we've seen some other extensions, it's easy to just be like, okay, who's next? I would target more of the other, a little bit older core pieces, maybe a little bit more proven than a guy like Kelnick, at least in the short term.
If you guys are loving what you're hearing from Jordan, make sure you check out his podcast, Baseball Barbie Cast. That's with his co-host, Jake Mintz. It releases 3 times a week. And look, I'm going to say this again. If you are someone that's like, yeah, I catch all the Mariners games, I don't have time to check out every story in baseball or the biggest stories, but I care about it because I'm a baseball fan, this is the perfect podcast for you. Again, it's 3 times a week. The latest one is on that issue with the Padres, as well as some of the big offenses around the league. So I know that you guys are especially curious to know what's going on there. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe. Jordan Schusterman joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Thanks so much, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you. And hey, go Huskies. All in on the Husky softball this weekend. Let's go.
That's right. Go Huskies.
Because we're talking softball. We don't have a softball team. I'll allow it, Jordan.
He's a kook. Thanks so much, Jordan.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Again, as Jordan said, by the way, Super Regionals kicking off today. Huskies taking on number 22, Louisiana. It's at 7 p.m. for today's game. Tomorrow's game a little bit earlier.
I am rooting
Good.
For them.
Good.
Let's go, Lady Dogs.
Let's go. One more series before you get to the big game. The big game. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you don't know what to call it.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know what to call it either.
The Women's College World Series.
The Women's College World Series.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big game.
The big game.
Yeah.
We're just going to get to four down territory.
This is four down territory. Going inside the game. What former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Not just two. First down. Over the past couple years, the Cowboys have been fined for having practices deemed too physical. You're too physical.
Too physical.
Because of that, the Cowboys have adjusted their 11-on-11 periods to more of a kind of a walkthrough to avoid this. What are your thoughts on this matter?
As you would say, how dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you play football and be too physical?
Yeah.
Now, I understand this is CBA, right? The players wanted this, so this is what they got. In 2021, the Cowboys were fined $50,000. In 2022, they were fined $100,000. So McCarthy's like, nah, man. I ain't paying that bill no more. So this is what we're going to do. 11-on-11. And I feel like it's in spite. Like whoever's monitoring their practices, he goes, watch this. We're going to jog through. We're going to have a walkthrough now, 11-on-11, because you think our practices are too physical. Here's who it benefits. The veterans, right? The guys who don't want to be out there and be physical. The high draft picks who know they're going to get some time and get some burn when it comes to playing time next year. Here's what hurts. The guys like me trying to make the team, man, because I remember this is a group of us. It was about 14 undrafted free agents in my year, and we are all fighting for our lives every single practice. We have to get physical. I have to block this safety and this linebacker and show that I can handle this. And it's going to hurt them, you know what I'm saying? Because it limits their opportunities to show what they can do. Now, you get to the preseason, obviously, you're going to get your chance there, but you want as many opportunities as possible to show that you can play. Mm-hmm. This limits that. But I get it. It's the CBA. It makes sense. But this is football.
See, I was going to be mad at you for questioning my knowledge of softball. But then I realized that the other day, me admitting that I thought the Denver Nuggets were named after nuggets, like chicken nuggets, kind of set me up.
I can't come back from that. I didn't know what the next round was either, though.
I can't come
I'm
back.
I'm like, is it the World Series? I don't know. Maybe
I get it.
The Super Regional? Maybe there's a Super Duper?
College is different because the World Series for both men's and women's
is multiple teams.
Yeah, it's 8 teams.
It's another, yeah.
It's not the final 2 teams how it is.
But also, I think that, you know, when you mess up and like you're late one time and now you're always like, hey, don't forget to be there. the Nuggets thing really set me back.
You've got some equity.
I got that. Exactly. Second down. It's that time of the year when riders across the country make a list for everything. And now, Bump, it's your turn. So who are the top 10 receivers in the NFC? You got five, though. You want to focus
five.
On five?
Yeah,
okay, top five, top five.
I got five.
Top five.
All right, my five. I'm going to start at the bottom. Now we're here. We're going with C.D. Lamb. I like this young man. He's the number one receiver, a slot type of body, but he has outside type abilities, 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's number five. Number four, I go with our man, Mr. D.K. Metcalf. You know what he does. All he does is make big plays, hard to tackle. And his growth has been fun to watch over these past few years. And then we go A.J. Brown at number three. He said he needs to get better this offseason, get better at tempo routes, and you're going to unlock just another attribute in this young man. Number two, I got Cooper Kupp. Now, this is just a popularity contest, honestly, because last year he was hurt, but we saw what he did before that. He should have won the MVP a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He should have won that thing, but you know, it's a quarterback award. And then number one, I'm going with the best route runner in the game, in my opinion, Justin Jefferson. He brought the gritty to the NFL.
Great list. Third down. There's a Geno Smith stat you saw that actually really surprised you. What was it? I'm curious about this one.
Some texter says, slow your roll on Geno, Bump. Slow your roll. I got to listen. I ain't slowing my roll. I'm just telling you the facts. My man has 10 game-winning drives. Before this year, I would say, maybe he has one or two. He had five when he was with the Jets his rookie year, two that second year, and then three this past year. They got him a game-winning drive against the Giants and the Rams twice. That's something that people knocked him for, is not being able to put together game-winning drives. That's just not true. Now, can he do it a few more times this year? I hope so, because that would equate to a couple more wins. But that's just something that surprised me, because I didn't think he had that many game-winning drives.
I didn't either.
But he's capable. He can do it. 10 game-winning drives, 5 fourth-quarter comebacks.
You can't slow your roll when those greens are playing so fast.
Wow, look at you.
Fourth down.
Look at you.
Saved you a minute. Sorry. Which team can use a wide receiver like DeAndre Hopkins?
Now, DeAndre wants to go to a contender. I understand that, DeAndre, and you should. You chase that ring. But I want you to look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. You have Trevor Lawrence over there. This guy is taking the next step. Doug Peterson, the QB whisperer, got into his ear, and he has him balling. You got a good run game over there in Etienne, and you also have some good receivers as well. I know you want to win championships, as you should, and you're at the point of your career where you probably should be chasing the ring. But if you don't chase the ring, go to that AFC South. Ain't nobody there. Texas, new quarterback. Colts, new quarterback. Titans, who knows who's going to play quarterback over there. Maybe it's Will. Maybe it's not. But the Jaguars are the best team in that division. You can win some ball games there. AFC is going to be tough regardless, though.
All right. We are going to get back to the Mariners. I want to figure out whether we're overreacting when it comes to the Mariners offense. Now, I've been really upset about it, but we talked with two people who know a lot. Jordan Schusterman and Larry Stone both visited us to talk to us about what they've seen around the league, especially with strikeouts. So we're going to revisit that topic at 1:30. Then what I need to know coming your way, you can get your questions in, any question you want, to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
You know what I was thinking, Bump?
What's that?
How come we can add so many fruits to lemonade, but we don't have orange lemonade?
Yeah.
Like, I'm drinking.
It's citrus.
Do those fruits go together?
But that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't think blueberry. You wouldn't think watermelon.
There's watermelon lemonade?
Yeah. I have so many water flavors right now because I was looking at TikTok and they were like, water talk. And I was like, stupid. But then I bought like 20 mixers. And I've been adding a lot of them. And a lot of them are lemonade. There's watermelon lemonade. There's blueberry raspberry lemonade. There's blackberry lemonade. There's blueberry lemonade.
Is it lemonade if there's no lemon in the aid, though?
But then that's the thing. I got lemonade and then I got fruit flavors. So now I make my own. I'm like a mixologist.
But in any other form.
But that's what I'm saying.
Have you ever seen orange and lemon together? Because I'll say this. I have seen blueberry and lemon together.
I'm drinking it right now. It's delicious.
There's also a blueberry lemon loaf at Costco
right now. That's incredible.
I've never seen orange and lemon together in any capacity.
I've never seen orange and lemon. I've also never seen grape and lemon, nor have I seen grape as part of any pastries, except if it's jelly. Why don't they have grape scones?
Artificially flavored grape tastes nothing like actual grape.
Why haven't we mastered it? It's 2023.
Are we trying to make it taste like real grape?
I'm just saying, the other day I read that Elon Musk is coming up with these brain chips that he wants to do all these crazy things. We can do that, but we can't have artificial grape flavor taste good.
You see, Elon Musk has a... artificial girlfriend now.
What?
Like a full robot. Sense. Like
what?
She's about 6 feet tall.
What do you
tall.
Mean artificial? Probably Why is Elon Musk doing all these weird things that we let it pass because he's a billionaire? Because he's rich.
Rich.
Like, oh, that's nice.
Let me
this
have
is
a billion
this
dollars.
Is literally the plot of a movie with Joaquin Phoenix. Huh?
He should work on his website a little bit.
Yeah, more. He should fix Twitter. And why don't you, Elon, keep handing out verified checks to more celebrities? You know what I mean? I'm still waiting for mine. I saw LeBron got one, and I was like, I'm assuming I'm next.
You got to be next.
I'm assuming so, but I still haven't gotten it. Anyways, I was just thinking about that. Why don't we have grape lemonade? Why don't we have, what was the other fruit I said? Orange lemonade.
Orange lemonade. That doesn't sound good.
And you know another thing we don't do? We don't have banana flavor with juice.
Because that'd be disgusting.
I'm just saying.
Banana in a smoothie, though, is good. Banana with strawberry.
It's just something that's I've good. Thought about. Strawberry lemonade, that's another
you
thing
you can't
we
really
have.
Juice a banana, though. You can mash it.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just something I was thinking about. Someone said reel her in. Okay. Here we go. earlier, we had both Larry Stone of the Seattle Times, one of my absolute favorites, and we also had George Hoosterman, who's one half of Cespedes Barbecue. I know so many of you love that account, and he also has the Baseball Barbie Cast. And both talked about how strikeouts around the league are not necessarily dramatically up, but they didn't go down as offensive numbers went up and time of games went down. Like some of the changes we've seen from the rule changes have not affected strikeout rates. Mm-hmm. And both were like, look, part of it is that it is so incredibly hard to hit in baseball right now. Like these pitchers have stuff where it's like, you invented that pitch in a lab. Like this is insane. And I wanted to talk a bit about how that affects the Mariners' offense, and it's how the team is built. They have a lot of guys that are strikeout guys. The problem is they're high strikeout guys, and they're not getting a lot of home runs because mm-hmm. they're supposed to be home run hitters as well, yeah. right? Julio, Gino, Cal. These are guys that you're waiting to see take off, and they haven't had the plus side taking off. Are we overreacting when it comes to the Mariners' offense? Because there's so many names that you're waiting to take off, or is it fair to kind of be like hitting the panic button right now? It's almost Memorial Day weekend. This is when the deadline of kind of like initial analysis is for a lot of people.
When you describe what the Seahawk offense wants to be, how would you describe that team?
What they want to be? Home run hitters, get on base,
control.
No,
oh. I'm sorry. The Seahawks.
Oh, sorry, Seahawks. Balanced, not run heavy, but can run the ball physical, and then downfield shots.
Right. And if we don't see that, we panic.
Yeah.
We're not seeing what the Mariners are built to be right now. You know, we see them trying because they're hacking. They're swinging away. They are swinging for the fences, but they're not who they want to be and who we expected them to be. And I think at this point, it's not necessarily a panic, but it's a, okay, I got to see more. Like, we've already ran out of the it's early excuse. It ain't early no more. Mm. You're what, 45 games in or something like that?
Yeah.
50 games in? It's not early anymore. Concern is the word that I would use. But I would also say that the timing of this schedule is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You stumbled a bit. You go against the A's. You get that sweep. You got a great pitcher on the mound tonight for the Pirates. You get to prove it. And then you go up against just a blue blood, one of the greatest franchises in all of sports, the Yankees. So because we're not seeing what they want to be, that's why people are like, man, well, what's going on here? Mm. I mean, do we change the philosophy? No, you built this team a certain way to perform a certain way, and half of it is getting done. The pitching staff is getting done. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do and who they thought they were going to be. It's just the offense. So because they're not being the team that we know they're capable of and the team that they want to be, then, yeah, you got to be concerned a bit.
I have an important point to add to that. I would like to correct myself. I said, why don't they have grapes in baked goods? And someone rightfully pointed out, Stacey, they're called raisins. It didn't
That's
hit me.
Rare. That's
it didn't,
rare.
I didn't process, but now I got it. I think I do that thing that a lot of other people do. Like when you talk about hitting in the park, I think, well, other people come here. So when you talk about pitching, I think, well, it's working for other teams. They're facing great pitching staffs. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to balance my fear and anxiety about the offense with the knowledge and optimism of someone like Jordan and with the knowledge of someone like Larry to be like, look, you're right, Bump. it's fair right now to panic and be like, I'm not seeing what they want to see. And you know what? When I hear Scott Servais, he doesn't sound that calm either. He sounds frustrated sometimes with not seeing the offense he wants to see. And there does come a time when you're like, it's like the put up or shut up, but in like a put up or trade kind of moment. You know what I mean? Where it's like, are you going to be a playoff team or not?
Yeah.
You are leading the league in quality starts with 28. You do not have 28 wins. Mm-hmm. You are wasting some of these games and some of these performances. You have the one of the best pitching staffs in baseball where night after night after night, it doesn't matter who's up. They're giving you a chance to be in this game. And sometimes you're struggling to muster three runs against the worst team in baseball like they did last night. So I'm trying to calm myself. And I did like today's interviews for that reason, because I'm just trying to think like, look, just give it a minute to settle in, but I am waiting, and I don't know. I was curious to see what
here's
you thought
about
it.
Here's what we can celebrate, though.
Yeah?
2 games above .500.
Hey!
Come on now.
They said it couldn't be done, but they did it!
We haven't done this year. 2 games above. Come on.
All right. We are going with what I need to know to wrap up today's show. Get your questions in. Any question you have to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. I hope the first question has something to do with can they go 3 above .500. Let's see if it can happen tonight, something we've never seen before. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in now to the Mac Jacks text line. Any question you have, and I mean any question, listen to my first one, text it in now, 866-979-3776. Here we go. What I Need to Know. Are cat strollers okay? Then he offers a story. Or she. My wife got herself and my kids a cat stroller to take our cats outside for walks. Everyone loves it, especially the cats. Love my cats, but I don't want to become one of those crazy cat people.
You already are.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You already are.
Well, I mean, do you get rid of the cat stroller?
Yeah, you have a cat stroller? What?
Well, here's what I want to know.
They want to take their cat on walks, but their cat doesn't want to go on walks.
Their wife is taking the cats on walks. So the wife and the kids maybe go on walks. They take the cats outside for walks. And this person's saying, look, are the cat strollers okay? What do I do?
That's your wife. You guys share the same last name, probably.
So if Jen got a cat stroller for the cat,
association.
That's Bump's
but
cat
then
stroller.
Do you say, hey, yeah, we got to get rid of the cat stroller? Or do you just say, I just got to let it happen?
You just let it happen, honestly. If it's going to cause drama, it ain't worth it. That battle's not worth the fight.
Look, this is different. It's not a wife, but I remember my mom, this was big in the 2000s, got really into decorating with grapes and vines around the house.
Like fake grapes? Oh,
yeah.
And vines?
It had a moment. And you just got to let it happen. You know what I mean? Like, you want to take it down, but you just go, you know what? She loves this. And she also loved putting lights in things. So if we had a plant in the home, she would put lights on it, like Christmas lights, and call it twinkle lights. She loved putting lights in plants.
Cute.
You just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it makes someone else happy.
Exactly.
I think you just let it happen. So that's our ruling on the cat strollers. Not okay, but.
Not okay, but.
Not
worth
it's not right, but it's okay. What I need to know. Can
I
the Mariners.
Like that reference.
Can the Mariners go 3 games above .500?
Do we dare?
Think
a
we
place
do.
Where, I mean, they haven't gone this season before?
I think it's possible.
It's going to be a 2-1
This is a really,
game.
Really tough pitching matchup, but you have George Kirby on the mound.
Jorge
Kirby.
Yeah,
that's the guy right now.
It's going down.
Well, I would say Bryce Miller right now has the hottest hand, but George Kirby has been just dominant.
One listener is suggesting the cat chest pack.
So like a baby Bjorn for your cat?
I'm imagining like a hangover style with the cat sitting in it. Oh, that's even funnier. Are weightlifters, what I need to know, are weightlifters considered athletes? Yeah? Yes?
No.
Do you know how hard that is? What do you mean?
I think CrossFitters are. But just a weightlifter?
Michael Bumpus, you don't think professional weightlifters are considered athletes? It's strenuous?
They used to show World's Strongest Man on ESPN.
Yeah, what? That is so hard
to
do.
Magnus for Magnus.
You're standing in one spot lifting a weight. Are you an athlete?
Are archers athletes?
It's an Olympic sport.
No.
Because they're standing in one spot?
They're not.
Stop.
They're not.
Stop. Now you're just standing.
I'm sorry.
So if you're standing,
cheerleaders are more athletes than weightlifters and archers.
Are golfers athletes?
Kinda. It's a leisure sport.
Man. Oh.
I'm sorry. Here's an athlete.
I can't co-sign.
Are you running, jumping, diving, moving, like?
Are punters athletes?
Punters?
Are kickers athletes? Yeah,
kinda. They're like golfers, man.
What I need to know from the 503. I know this is a silly question, so I apologize in advance. Is it possible for T-Mobile Park to move the fences in a few feet early in the season? Are there rules or regulations on stadium layouts? Curtis, this might be, I don't know the answer.
The walls at T-Mobile Park are like, they're like cemented into the ground. Like, they're not just removable. You can't just fold them up and push
build
them back
another fence.
Yeah, it's
build
gonna,
another fence.
It's going to take some construction to move the fences in or out.
You know what I'll do by myself? Give me a hammer, nails, some boards. I'll go out there and construct a new fence myself. I'll just do it 15 feet into the outfield. Done. New fence. What I need to know, when you are running late for work, what are the must-do activities versus what you can skip?
Well, Stacey, you should.
Yeah. So you got to get your iced coffee. When you're running late to work, what you do is you put the iced coffee in your bag and hide it, or you get a hot coffee so the ice doesn't jingle down the hallway announcing your arrival. Another thing you do when you're running late to work, I do makeup in the car when I'm driving. I get a lot of people going, they stare at you, and it's like, okay, I get it. Look, it's not safe. I wait until I'm like in the line getting on the freeway.
Okay.
I shouldn't say that.
No.
Both hands on the wheel. Both hands on the wheel. What I need to know, do you go to a public beach or private pool in the summer?
Oh, private pool.
Neither.
You don't go to a beach?
I watch my kids. I'm not a water guy. You know? I could swim and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I leave that for the children.
Okay, that's fine. What I need to know.
All the beaches around here are freezing. Like, regardless of the time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Golden Gardens. That water is absolutely cold, even in, like, August, July. What I need to know. So I recently found out I'm related to one of my closest friends through marriage. So now we can say we're cousins. Yet it feels weird to call each other cousins. Do you guys think that you're actually related if it's only by marriage?
Let me tell you one thing. In the black community, everyone's your cousin. Everyone's your uncle. Everyone's your nephew. So that's probably not a question you want to ask me.
I think you are related if it's only by marriage, because if you were asking me, hey, could I marry my my cousin's wife's brother? I'd be like, you could. It's just kind of weird. You can.
Technically.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that counts. I think it's fair to say that you're cousins. I would. I'd claim it. Someone, 509 echoes you, says golfers aren't athletes unless curlers are. Now, curlers are stepping.
They're moving.
They're stepping.
They're moving.
How many steps do you have to take to be an athlete?
How many steps? At least 300.
Okay.
At least 300.
So, golfers who walk the course are athletes, but golfers who drive the course are not.
Okay. Right.
Well, you're still taking about three, because you gotta park the car, walk to the green, you know.
What I need to know, raisins or no raisins in cinnamon buns? Never raisins. I hate raisins.
Raisins ain't bad in the cinnamon buns. They ain't bad.
Absolutely not. Raisins ruin everything, and the only thing I'll eat them in, even though I would prefer that they not be in it, is carrot cake.
I thought you were going to say casserole.
Why?
So you're
raisins and apples.
I've been so good today.
So you're out on oatmeal raisin cookies?
No, I'll eat them. I just don't like raisins. It's kind of like an unpleasant surprise every time you eat them. And one of my least favorite things, actually, is when you get a chocolate chip cookie and you think it's just going to be this chocolate chip cookie that you know and it's familiar with, and you eat it and it's raisins, and you're like, this isn't even worth
the
calories.
Oatmeal raisins are bomb, though.
Oatmeal cookies are bomb.
That's what I mean. Oatmeal cookies with raisins in them?
Someone said for bringing in the outfield, just put up a Little League flexi fence.
Dude, as somebody that was a Little League umpire for years, those things are awful. Because you spend half the game trying to put them back up, especially if it's a windy night. Those things are flying.
People
everywhere.
Are just texting in different sports to ask Bump if they're athletes. You've got cornhole.
No.
Shot putters.
Shot putters.
They take a step.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
There's
okay.
movement there.
Someone said...
golfers maybe. I don't know.
I work with a guy who married a step cousin. They live in Monroe, so acceptable? Wow.
Wow.
Wow, so, Craig.
Bunch of neighbors.
Hey. Yeah, hey.
Hey. Don't be mad when you see 100 pickup trucks pull up in front of your house.
All right, you guys, that will do it for us today and also this week for Michael Bumpus. You're going to get out there and play these greens
you
this weekend.
It.
We already know. You guys might see golf. You might see Bump out there if you're going golfing this weekend. For Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.